Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
At a time when eating healthy seems to get more and more complicated and expensive, dairy remains simple and affordable. A powerful source of micronutrients, high-quality amino acids and calcium that are all essential for healthy muscles and bones, dairy really should be enjoyed as part of a varied and balanced diet. Lovingly made with all the goodness of organic British milk, Yeo Valley Kefir is a creamy, tangy, organic yogurt packed with billions of live bacteria from 14 different culture strains for maximum gut flora diversity. Available in natural, mango and passion fruit, blueberry and strawberry flavours, the daily boost you deserve is in the yogurt aisle at all the major supermarkets. To find out more, head over to yeovalley.co.uk. Hello and thank you so much for tuning in to Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to equip you with all the evidence-based advice you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhianna Lambert, registered nutritionist, best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, and founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. In each episode, I'll be joined by special guests, all of whom can be considered authoritative voices in health, so that together we can learn fact from fiction and empower the healthiest and happiest versions of ourselves with trusted expert advice. I'm sure many of you, like myself, grew up with fern cotton in one way or another. From an early age, fern has been a huge part of British media, and I have certainly been an avid audience member since my teens. Fern has spent an impressive 20 years working in TV and radio. Most recently, she's gone solo with starting up her own podcast, Happy Place, which I adore listening to on a regular basis. And subsequently, she's run two festivals as well as being now a best-selling author. I'm absolutely thrilled to have Fern Cotton, businesswoman, wife and mum, joining me on the podcast today. Hello, Fern.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really well. I think I had a better start to the day, though, than you did this morning.
Oh, man. My life at the moment is, it was chaos this morning. And my kids eventually went to school and I got myself ready. I had lots of meetings this morning and I was about to walk out the house and I went to pull my knickers out my bum and I had a split. Not only like a small tear in my favourite velvet trousers that I have had for about 10 years, a split from the new right round to the waistband.
Oh, it was the classic
location. It was the whole thing. Yeah. And I was about to go, I was foot out the door. So I was like, thank God, I just had a little feel. So I'm now wearing trousers that hopefully
the seams
are together and they're fine. But yeah, it was an interesting start to the day.
But equally, you share that on social media and I'm sure it's happened to so many people.
Yeah, like, I'm not the sort of person that's going to post, like, here's my perfect life, here's my outfit looking amazing as I go to work, because that is not my life. No. My life is chaos.
I mean, you have experienced and achieved so many incredible things, met the most amazing people. I'd love to know if you could look back and give one piece of advice to your younger self. I'm sure you're asked this a lot, or it's a difficult question. What would that be?
Well, I have spent a lot of time looking back over my life, my career, and wondering what I would do differently. There are, of course, many things, but I think the overarching theme or the thing I would say is just, and it's so obvious, but just to stay being me, because I was very much me when I started in TV, because I knew no different. I was just like, wow, this is so bizarre. I'm 15 and I'm in this weird world, and it was all crazy. And then in my 20s, I started to sort of compare myself a lot more to people around me, not feel like I was good enough or that I was fitting to be in that world. I just felt a bit of an oddball. So I started to sort of just, you know, not be very me. And I was, I guess, quite sponge-like to the people around me at that time and all the classic things you do in your 20s. Mm. And over the last sort of, I'd say, 5 years, I've gone, sod that. This is exhausting. I just am going to be me. And if people think that I'm boring or, you know, whatever it is that my assumptions were, I don't care.
No, it doesn't matter what anymore. People think.
I just don't care. I used to care a lot. And now I'm just like, oh, I don't care. So yes, I will post a picture of my split trousers and very old knickers on Instagram and talk about things that I care about rather than thinking I've got to do what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, and staying true to you. And I think if we actually go back to who was Fern growing up, so before the TV, childhood, I mean, what was your kind of upbringing like? Were you very close to your family?
Yeah. I mean, I had very kind of, I guess, regular working class suburban upbringing where I lived when I was tiny in a little bungalow in the suburbs, and then my brother came along and we stayed in the tiny bungalow for a bit too long. And then, I don't know, when I was 7 or 8, moved to a sort of classic semi-detached mock Tudor suburban home and had a very nice time with my brother and my cousins, who I'm really close to, and my very hardworking parents who, I mean, my dad literally just retired this year and my mum worked a plethora of jobs that I'm sure none of them she particularly wanted to be doing, like cleaning our neighbours' houses, and has worked as a dental nurse and delivering Next goods for people. And she just did all sorts to make ends meet. And so the lovely thing is I've got an insatiable work drive from seeing them work as hard as they did. But it was happy. It was uneventful in a lovely way. You know, we had a very lovely, regular family experience. You know, we'd go on the odd holiday camping. We had so much laughter with my cousins. They're my fondest memories, is being with my cousins and my brother. And there was really not much drama, thank God. I'm very, very fortunate in that. And then at 15, it all went completely crazy. Yeah, and my life just changed overnight.
Did you want to go into TV?
Oh yeah,
and music?
I mean, absolutely. I was completely naively, hopelessly in love with the fantasy of working in this industry. I was not academic. I desperately wanted to be in the theatre or be a dancer or an actress. And I was in the sort of local dance and drama club that I went to literally every day of my life. And then I would do little theatre shows, and we would put on, you know, week long runs of these shows. And I was just in my element. It was my everything. It's all I wanted to do. So there was no concept back in the 90s, I don't think, for that age, to be famous. That wasn't a phrase. It wasn't a notion that one would lust after. It was, I want to do that job. And mine was to be an actress. And then I went off on this tangent of being a TV presenter by accident, completely by accident.
Yeah, tell us that story, the by accident. How on earth did you land these roles in TV at such a young age?
Well, I was in this lovely local dance and drama school called Soul, which still exists. And it was just, at the time, I don't know where it is now, but it was in a church hall, you know, very kind of basic. But the teachers were exceptional. They were all, you know, very young, 18, 19, 20. They were all either fresh from West End shows, doing West End shows, had friends in West End shows. We were learning all of these amazing dance routines that were like in the West End at the time. But they were like young and exciting and excited. And I would just go and audition for anything. So anything that I heard of through that group, I would go audition for TV adverts, audition for theatre productions. And I got a handful. I got turned down for a load. And that's where you have to start becoming resilient. And then I randomly went to this audition, which I thought was for a drama. And it turns out it was for this Disney Club show. And I thought, this is like a kid's drama. And it was a presenter-led show. So they asked me to talk to camera, and I just thought, I don't know what I'm doing, but I was like, hello, I'm Fern, blah, blah, blah. And then went through all these rounds and ended up getting the job, which was just bizarre. But I was like, look, foot in the door, this is it. I want to do something on the TV, and it may as well be this. And then I kind of I guess, incrementally fell in love with the craft of being a broadcaster, having not really known what that entailed. So it was a happy accident.
I was going to say, and were there any shows in particular that really stood out to you as, I don't know, a favourite or a life-changing type of experience? So you've done so many. I mean, Dig It, the Disney stuff, Younger years.
Yeah, I mean, I'll always be really grateful to the execs that gave me my first job on Disney Club, because they, for some reason, thought I could do the job and I didn't even know I could do it. So, you know, I'm always so grateful to them for giving me that chance. So that was, you know, the most game-changing moment. But there have been lots of lovely things. I think the things I'm most proud of in that part of my career were doing, you know, Children in Need and Comic Relief, and getting to go to Africa on many occasions, and just, you know, meeting some amazing people. That they were the moments that for me personally changed me and gave me a broader scope of, you know, just what's going on planet Earth and human emotion and all those things. And then really, I think the work that I'm most proud of is really the stuff I've done in the last 4 years, you know, because to be frank, it's mine and exactly. I created it and I had the idea for these things that I'm doing and I'm making them happen. And I had years of sitting waiting for someone to say, oh, you're good enough to do this TV show. Mm. We accept you now into doing this. We think you're appropriate for this. Because I've been told on so many occasions, you're not right for this, you're not right for that. Mm. We're replacing you with this person. You get told to your face. It's not, no, you know, hidden, disguised in any way. So now I just sort of could care less. Like, if I get offered a TV show and it feels right, my God, I'll be over the moon and I will be grateful and I'll be happy and I'll do the best job that I can. But I don't have to sit there sort of desperately hoping anymore. I can create stuff that I really want to do.
Because that desperate hope as a teenager must have been, I mean, I can't even begin to imagine the pressures that were on you at that age.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot. And it was more the times when you get told to your face, you know, we don't think you're quite right, is a phrase that I've heard a lot. And I don't think that's healthy for anyone to hear without some sort of constructive backup, which was usually lacking. And even more recently, I've had that happen to me, and no one tells you or explains their meaning behind it. So I don't think that's particularly healthy. I've become resilient in some ways, but I am uber sensitive in others.
You're still a human being.
Well, I'm a very sensitive human being. Yeah. I'm not... it's rarely water off a duck's back. I'll take things and learn from them if I can. But if I don't feel there's anything to be learned, it does just hurt for a bit. And you have to, like, dust yourself off, pick yourself back up, not let your ego take over and just start from the ground up again.
Which is so good to hear, actually, because I think there's this big... there is a pressure for anyone going into a performance-based world or anything, the type of role you've done, that you will be resilient, you will get used to no's, therefore that is the nature of the job. You have no choice but to be okay with that. Mm. And like you said, it isn't water off a duck's back a lot of the time. It does get to you.
And also, you know, a lot of people have the perception that, well, you're in the public eye, you chose it, you've got to deal with it.
And exactly.
It's like, well, I don't have to. And also, I usually don't. I usually do go into a bit of a pit of despair for a week or so. Mm. And, you know, that's just how I process stuff. So I don't have to do anything. I can still do the job I love, but I didn't ask to be treated badly or verbally abused or any of those things.
No.
You know, that's not, to me, part of it. I'll take constructive criticism, I'll listen to public opinion, but if it's from people that know what they're talking about, and if it's from people that really believe positive change is needed, all the rest I can park.
Yeah, I think that's quite good advice. Do you think there's something you could offer in terms of, for our listeners, of receiving any criticism? And it's even harder for you because you get it all year round to certain degrees. Is it that you weigh up, is it worth even responding to it?
Yeah, so I took heed of some advice recently when I went and watched a talk with Hillary Rodham Clinton and Chelsea Clinton.
Amazing.
And yes, so I'd luckily done the podcast with them in the morning, and then in the evening I went to this talk they
did.
And Chelsea said something that has really stuck with me, and it was, I'm probably going to cock it up, but she said something along the lines of, take serious advice from serious people seriously, and take not so serious advice from not serious people not so seriously.
Yep, no, that makes sense.
And I thought, yeah, why do I take advice from people that I don't actually value what they're saying so seriously and take it to heart? I should definitely take it from peers that I respect, my parents, my small friendship circle. But anyone else, I've got to really study and work out whether I need to take on that comment or if I can just go, no, thank you.
Yeah, that's actually going to ring true with me and I'm sure a lot of people listening. And you share, because I think you're in a position now and you said you found, I'm going to be cheesy, but you found a happier place in what you're doing. You know, you're in control of what you're doing. Do you think that, do you ever find there's a certain risk involved, even with sharing your own recipes now and your amazing books, and there's an element of your personal life that is being put out there to a degree. How do you feel about that and how do you kind of gear yourself up to getting the confidence to do that?
Yeah, well, that was an absolute, that was a shift that I consciously made, because before, although I was sort of me, I was more the TV me or the public, or the, what I thought the appropriate public version of me was. Whereas now I am 100% just me. As you saw on Instagram this morning, I can't lie anymore. I can't, not that I was lying, but I can't withhold the truth or be anything other than how I feel in the moment. So, yes, I guess the criticism is slightly more personal and probably attacks more of a real bit of you. But it's worth the gamble, because actually what I'm doing on the flip side to that is connecting with people on a much deeper level. Well, I'm connecting with people. Yeah. I'm having a big conversation with lots of lovely people, and that is in turn helpful to me, hopefully helpful to them.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it so much more. So it's worth the little bit of shit I might get to really connect.
Because you share your stories. I mean, I've had the amazing opportunity to talk at one of your festivals, and your podcasts are just incredible. You share a lot about your mental health, and I'm sure that by you even talking about it, it's going to think, oh wow, Fern's not just some performing robot every single day. Have you had, would you say, more positive response to it than the negative sharing?
Oh god, absolutely. I mean, I had no idea when I the first moment of sharing anything remotely personal was the book Happy that I wrote. Yes. and I sort of wrote it quite freely and happily. And
how did you make the decision to even start that?
I had been talking to my publisher at the time about writing a proper book rather than it just being, you know, I'm not saying cookbooks aren't proper, but like an actual book.
Depth.
And I said, look, I can write, because she was like, let's talk about well-being. I know you're really into all these bits and bobs. And I said, well, look, between you and I, I've never talked to anyone about this. I could either do a book about happiness and keep it quite, you know, frivolous and light, or I can really go there. And I know which one would be a better book.
Mm.
And she was like, well, I will support you through. And she's a great friend of mine now, and I work with her still. Lovely lady called Amanda. And she really encouraged me and helped me through that process of working out what I would feel comfortable writing and what I wouldn't. But, you know, still I had the pre-release jitters of, oh shit, this book's coming out, maybe I should go and run into every local Waterstone and just nick all the books, I can't bear this to go out. I didn't know what the reaction would be, but luckily it has been. I don't think you can even gauge it as positive or negative. It's just real. It's a very honest reaction, and lots of people feel comfortable now sharing their stories with me, which I feel very honoured about. Yeah. And very grateful for. And I'm still doing it. You know, this full story's not out on the table. I'm writing a new book at the moment that's on a whole other section of my life. And it's just, you know, it's incremental, and it's just feeling it as it goes. Does this feel right? Yes. Does this feel right? Maybe not right now, maybe down the line. And I just keep testing the waters. And the reaction, you know, I want to help people for sure. But the reaction, if it's personal towards me, I have to not worry about, because I know my purpose is to tell the truth and to hopefully generate more stories of truth from other people. I feel that really is my purpose at this point in life.
And it's incredibly brave, I think, for anybody to put an ounce of vulnerability, especially on pages that are there for a lifetime. It's an incredibly brave thing. What I personally think that it's an incredible book, and I know that it's helped people. I have some of my clients in my clinic that just adore you and what you're doing. But you also mentioned imposter syndrome quite a bit. Now that's something I think a lot of people do struggle with.
Definitely. Oh my God. I mean, There's parts of my career where I don't have it and I feel really robust, and that is only because of time.
Yeah.
Knowing that I've got 23 odd years practice in what I love and knowing what I'm good at and what I'm bad at really helps. But there are still moments where, more so outside of my comfort zone now, if it's not one of my own projects, if I'm asked to do something for someone else, there will be an hour, 2 hours, could be a day of a long project where I really have to check myself and go, look, you are capable, you can do this, you know, don't let the demons creep in and start down talking, just breathe, be in the now. I have to talk to myself.
Is that a good tip, do you think, for people, like, to reduce anxiety? Just, you know, have a chat with yourself.
Have a chat with yourself and know what you're capable of. You know, sometimes you'll do things where you don't feel capable. And I've certainly taken myself out of those situations where I've gone, you know what? I am out of my depth here. And rather than balls this up, I'm going to wait. And I'm very patient in my career. I'm in this for the long game. I want to do this forever. I don't need to be everything today. So if I feel out of my depth, I will step back and I'd rather feel not stressed than do something that feels wildly out of my control. The caveat to that is I do think it's important to scare yourself a bit, but you have to know your limits. There's nerves and there's a little bit of healthy fear. And then there's what I've experienced on many occasions, panic attacks, you know, terror, night panic attacks and night terrors. I've had all of these around work, and that's where I've had to go, this isn't worth it. I've got to make a change. And I've pulled out of jobs, I've stepped back from things, and then those awful situations have just dissipated. So I think you have to know your own personal limits, but you can't stop yourself from feeling a little bit nervous about stuff. Because do you think I was sat there not nervous in front of Hillary Clinton?
Oh my
goodness.
Of course
I shit my pants.
When I saw that, I was just in awe. I was like, how on earth did you conduct that interview?
Well, look, I was shitting myself before and I was pacing the room and there were Secret Service officers everywhere and it was really scary.
Gosh.
And then as soon as she walked in my head, I knew I could do it. Because of my experience and what I felt passionate about in that moment, I would conduct an interview that I would be happy with. I can't speak for everybody else, but something that I was happy with. So you still go through it, but that was healthy fear. That was exciting fear. That was, oh my God, I might need a poo in a minute fear. That was good fear. Rather than
night terror fear.
I'm in the middle of the night. I'm on my own. It's pitch black. My husband's asleep. I can't breathe. My heart is racing. I need beta blockers. Do you know what I mean? That's where I don't need to go anymore.
No.
So it's knowing your limits. They'll be different for everyone.
Completely. And affecting your health. Because obviously, I think, like you said, you were really severely affecting your health by putting yourself through some of those situations. And it's actually really difficult to say no. Saying no is one of the hardest things for people to do. We're conditioned in society to be a yes society. If you want to achieve something, you have to say yes to everything. And I'm very fortunate because our mutual friend, Gary Barlow, he introduced me to you, which is how I've been able, I'm just so in awe of the fact you even come on this podcast
to
talk.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
But he also shared, he opened up a lot about his eating, his relationship with food, and you've recently done that too. Can I just say a huge and utter thank you for being so open on behalf of me or the clients I've ever seen in my life. I know so many people, Fern, suffer from disordered relationships with food.
How
on earth did you suddenly wake up and think, I'm going to share that I had bulimia?
Oh God, it was a long thought process. I mean, for me, it's been this kind of bizarre secret. And a part of myself, I almost sort of had discarded, like I that person doesn't exist. I can't go there. That's not the person that I'm putting out in the public. It's not the person I'm even putting out with my friends. This wasn't not something I discussed with anyone.
No.
And I mean absolutely nobody. You know, my mum and dad knew, but it wasn't something I was sat, let's have a cup of tea and talk about, you know, when I was bulimic for 10 years.
No.
We didn't talk about it. So I'd been thinking about it a lot and thinking about the lovely feedback I've had with all of the other work that I've done within the mental health arena, and knowing that I had other stories to tell and ways of uniting people. Because the one thing I think is really powerful when you are in the public eye, you can do loads of shit. If you want, you can go and blag yourself some free shoes. You can look really popular on Instagram. You can look like you've got all these celebrity friends. And or you can really eliminate shame and fear and worry by demystifying all the bullshit around what people assume people in the public eye have going on.
Mm.
Because even I do it, I think, oh my God, as if like some fantasy Brad Pitt's world. Got any problems.
Yeah.
Of course he fucking has. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, I'm now trying to go, right, well, how else can I... I'm sure there's millions of people out there, there'll be tons listening to this, who have had bulimia,
yeah.
who are suffering now, who have had disordered relationships with food, who feel alienated, isolated, unable to talk to anyone. These are all the things I personally felt.
Yeah, it becomes
like
your own
freak.
Friend.
That's how I felt, again, with all the things that I've dealt with within mental health. And I had a real seminal moment, actually, at the Chiswick Happy Place Festival. And... Megan Jane Crabb was doing a talk at the festival, and she's someone that I massively adore what she's doing and the way that she is game changing, not only in, you know, how she puts herself out there on social media, but how she talks about the relationship we have with our bodies is really quite powerful.
It's incredible.
And I've gained a lot from it. And I said to her on the stage, and I'd never even said these words out loud, and I couldn't quite believe I was saying it in the moment because I hadn't planned it. But I said when we were doing our talk, it was a podcast actually, live podcast, and I said, well, I've had a weird relationship with food over the years. And I was like, oh my God, what
it
am
just
I saying?
Came out. Yeah.
Shit. So it had been, you know, it had been churning, and the idea had been there to perhaps speak at some point. I didn't know when, and it was sort of then half out. And then Elizabeth Day asked me to go on her podcast, and I massively trust her and really adore her. And I thought, I would like to do it not on my watch. I would like to do it on someone else's, because I don't want this to be a big, like, here's a new announcement, everybody.
No.
I wanted it to be a lovely conversation where it was someone that I trusted, and they would take care of that information in the way they deemed appropriate.
Yeah.
So I was just the person saying the words, and then they could make that happen and put it out there. And that felt to me a nice way of doing it. It's not the end. It's very much the start. I've barely scratched the surface with that one. I've just kind of made a statement, really.
It is the start, and it will bring
There's
up a whole host
about.
Of feelings the minute you even openly talk about
Absolutely.
It in itself. I think everyone out there, I've always been a big believer, everybody has a relationship with food to some spectrum that's completely unique to them. And even labelling you with bulimia is technically wrong, because on the spectrum in terms of eating disorders, there are so many points from A to B in between those letters where you could fall. And most people don't even realise they have a problem. Mm. If they do, like you said, they feel so isolated. But it's something that everyone has an opinion and a judgment on, the way we eat. And it's a very, very deeply personal thing. We must remember, to anyone listening, please remember, eating disorders are a mental health illness. A lot of the time it's got nothing to do with food. It can be a way of coping. There are so many other things out there. Did you ever get help for this? You never reached out? Was there a point?
Sort of. So I guess in the middle of that period, I thought, God, this isn't great. I don't feel great, and I don't think that this is a good idea anymore. Because for a bit I thought it was a great idea.
Well, the consequences of bulimia on the body physiologically
Bad.
Are humongous. Heart, your esophagus, everything.
And I started to realise this in a very obvious way. So at that point I did independently go and find a local nutritionist, and I had maybe two sessions, and I found it very overwhelming, because I just thought, well, this is going to fix everything and it's all going to be fine.
The journey begins.
Yeah. And it was a help. It was a source of help. And it gave me slightly new ways of thinking about food. But then it was probably a good 4 or 5 years after that, that I really went, I really don't want to do this anymore. And I'm really going to work hard to not. And I'm not saying that this is a great way of doing it, but I just did it on my own.
Yeah.
I just stopped, and I just started really looking at how I could become the best home cook for me and my family possible. So that was my remedy, was to go, I'm a very all or nothing person. So my remedy was, I'm going to see food all day, every day. And I'm going to touch it. I'm going to smell it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy cooking it. I'm going to enjoy eating it. I'm going to know what I'm eating. Because before that, it was like going to the pub, have a cigarette, have a vodka, have three chips. Good night. I didn't give a toss about any of it. I didn't care about. I've always loved baking. That's always been like just a fun hobby.
Yeah.
But cooking was not until I fully realised I want to be better. And I went full throttle into that, like I do with anything.
It's like a reinforcement theory. That's incredible what you did, actually.
Well, I mean, I think I've done that in many ways with lots of things in my life. I like to face things head on.
Yeah.
And I went into it big time. And weirdly, it's churned out this whole other area of my career, which has been a joy. And it helped me. It was a healing and a therapy in a sense as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible, because like Fern said quite rightly, there is no one size that fits all in recovery or what you should and shouldn't do. But Fern found a way to connect with food that was completely different to before, and look where it's led you. So now, I mean, if anyone out there does need help with an eating disorder or disordered eating, we'll put some links below in the show notes, because it's a huge, we could do a whole podcast just on this subject. But
it's such a huge one, and I just, because I had been so through it, when I know somebody is suffering or is feeling confusion, the empathy is just, you know, it's a big one for me. I just wish that I could, you know, alleviate people from what they're feeling. And for me, it was a sense of not feeling ever good enough, and that affected not only my eating, but all sorts of areas of my life. So I'm still building myself up in some ways mentally, but getting to like, accept and want to be with yourself. And that for me was the start of it. And knowing that that's not going to be anyone else telling you that information, like, you are now good enough, you are correct, you are right, you look great. It's an inside job. And that, again, is a bespoke practice that you will stumble upon, be gifted from the universe, supported by friends in whatever way it will hopefully come to you. But it is possible. I think people need to know that it is possible, because people feel like it isn't. I didn't feel like it was possible.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, no, it's one of life's most challenging things. I don't have it sourced. I don't think anyone really does. I think over time, I'm hoping with every year that goes by of my life, you become a little bit more content in yourself. But it's definitely something everybody should be mindful of working on.
Yeah, and can I just say that, you know, social media, as wonderful it is, it has attributed to people feeling shit about themselves physically, because it is a very visual concept, and it is a very
It's an image-based platform.
Shallow platform at times, as lovely and connective as it can be. And I think if you're following people you know that make you then do something as simple as look at your own thighs in a mirror, or look at yourself in comparison, just unfollow them.
Yeah, please unfollow them.
Yeah. You know, they won't care.
No, they won't.
Just unfollow them and follow people that make you feel great and that make you feel inspired, happy to be in your own skin, and listen to podcasts that do that, watch TV shows that do that, read books that do that, consume things you know that will be nurturing and nourishing rather than depleting.
I completely agree. And set yourself a little diversity challenge, because I think if you're, for instance, I work in food, I don't want to just be following food accounts. I need something different to just pop up randomly there. Maybe one day it's a bit of a dance video from the 90s Hollywood era that pops up and I'm like, yes, I love this
show.
Anything different. That was really, really wise advice. And last year you started Happy Place. So you started up, I mean, it's been the most incredible journey for you. You've had two festivals. You've said what kind of got you into it, but creating a whole festival, Fern, that's a huge, and they were not just a one room kind of festival thing.
No.
You created an entire kind of Happy Place world.
Yeah, it was a lot. I've just come from a meeting actually where we've been discussing next year, which will make the festival, I've got to be careful how I choose my words because I want to be explicit in what we want to achieve, but it's going to be better for sure. It's going to be more helpful. It's going to be, because I don't want to say bigger, because it there will be bits of it that will be bigger and will be able to accommodate more people. But I want it to always feel intimate and not scary.
The quality, not the quantity.
Yes, I want it to feel like you're walking into something where you feel comfortable and relaxed, not like, oh my God, there's millions of people, blah, blah, blah. So we've got some nice ideas and we were buzzing this morning in these meetings about what we're going to do. But it's going to be even more special, I hope, next year. But I was so happy with what we achieved this year.
It's
so
incredible.
Happy with, you know, how it went. And it was just, you know, bringing to life all the little bits that I've been doing and making it a reality. And I had a brilliant team helping me work on it. And I adore each and every one of those people. And it was a moment of absolute pride. I was really chuffed that we had done it.
It was an incredible, and I can speak firsthand from being there. The people that were there, you just lifted everyone's spirits, and the types of talks you had were so diverse.
Yeah, that was important that we, and again next year, that there are a real array of subjects covered and people are given the space and time to tell their story, because I think storytelling is very important and massively overlooked, and just for people to hear those stories and take strength from them or whatever they needed to. Or, you know, we had like one girl came walking out of one talk. I think it was my friend Porna Bell. And this girl came out sort of with tears in her eyes going, that's it, I've decided, I'm quitting this job, I'm doing, and like, you know, epiphany moments. And it was really amazing to have sort of been part of that. So yeah, more of that next year. I'm really excited.
It must feel so nice to be able to give back in a capacity and just share the contacts you have and the things that you've managed to do. Mm. Like, in a way, it's like what you said earlier about how you've had the most incredible humbling experiences as well from being involved in TV and media, like going to Africa and doing the most amazing things. That must be so grounding as well. And it must come into how you see a vision, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I could not be anything but grounded, because my mum would literally disown me if I was to ever be anything but very grounded. I would get a good talking to. It's not in my nature anyway. You know, I come from a very regular background. This is not the norm. And I want to have a life where it's similar to what I knew. So, you know, I do everything like everyone else does. I walked here just now from the other office.
Great.
And I will go and grab some lunch from the cafe next door before my next podcast. And I will then go and pick up my children from school and take them swimming. And I have an extraordinary job. But my life, I like to keep peaceful, small and ordinary.
Which is perfect.
And I don't want it to be any other way. And also, you know, I have had some amazing experiences where I've got to, you know, meet some sensational people, some of which were at the Happy Place Festival, who have had just remarkable lives.
Oh, listening to Russell Brand's talk for me was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, people that have really like lived a life and have had, you know, and like wonderful Annie Price and Sophie Walker and just all these incredible people who I managed to convince to come to the festival. And I'm more interested in that. I want to hear their stories. I'm, you know, we can all pick up a celebrity magazine and read about what Jennifer Aniston's had for her tea, fine. But I'm interested in these real stories. Yeah. And there's no time or space to be grand or above oneself in those moments. No. It is about reality and wanting to help other people and wanting to hopefully generate some positive thoughts and some strength and courage, because my God, we all need it at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, hopefully what I'm doing in my small way. I'm not going to change the world. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not sat here going, I'm going to make everyone feel amazing. But I hope in small ways I will be able to do that. And if I'm going to have this platform in any sense, I hope to do good from it. No, I can't do it in every job I do. I will sometimes do a TV show that is just for fun because I want to do it. And that's, you know, fine. I there's room for it all. But a lot of it I want to really be seeped in creating a bit of a conversation.
But it does transcend through everything you do, even to your cookbooks. I find that the fact that you... The reason I also love your books and things like that is because, as a nutritionist anyway, I want people to enjoy food. I want them to see it doesn't have to be a chore. The recipes that you create are totally doable.
Oh, they're so easy.
Yeah, it's just
God,
not...
I'm not, you know, I'm no Nigella. I'm just, I just am an enthusiastic home cook, and I want to... Like you say, get people to not be scared of it. And like even the new book, which is a vegan cookbook.
Yeah, oh, I love it.
You know, I've done completely vegan now for, must be, I don't know, 8-10 weeks, something like that, maybe more.
It tastes
great. I haven't even noticed any different in how I'm going about my day. It's all been, I cook most of my meals from scratch, either bring them to work in a nerdy Tupperware or go and grab something. There's a veggie prep next door, bingo.
Yep.
But just keeping things simple. I haven't got time when I get back from work or the school run to be making complicated, you know, pretty food. It's just got to be whack it in a pot. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you've got a life to lead as well. And do you find that when you became a mum, that's when you really started to change how you cooked?
Oh my God, yes.
Because I've got this all to come. I'm going to learn from you.
You've got all the great intentions and then they're like, no.
Yeah.
No, don't like it. And then you've got to be quick on your feet, you got to be smart, you got to be, or sometimes not, and just go, oh, just have some toast then or whatever. But it's hard. It's really hard work. Like, food and kids is tricky.
Yeah.
Because you want them to be on board with how you feel about it and comfortable with it and relaxed. And obviously, because of my past, I really want that for my children, to just to enjoy food.
Mm.
And I've made a real concerted effort to do so. So we do a lot of baking together, a little bit of cooking. They're still a bit young, more Rex than Honey, because obviously you've got knives and it's hot and whatever.
Yep.
But baking, very easy for them to be part of that. And for them to enjoy it and watch me cook all the time.
Which actually really helps future generations, because we had a huge problem in the last 10 years with the lack of cooking in the UK. I mean, we are all busy. I get it.
It's tough.
It is tough. But I would say it's like you time as well, wouldn't you? Like, it's a little... Because how else do you fit that in? You time having your own business. A, you're a businesswoman with your own projects. You're running a family on top of everything else. It's like the golden question. Like, how do you fit it in?
Well, there are a couple of things that help me out. One of them is I'm an absolute nerd and I would rather be learning than doing anything else. I wasn't studious at school. I didn't feel like I got school or it got me. But at this point, all I want to do is learn. I want to learn more recipes. I want to learn new ways of cooking. I want to learn more about the people I'm interviewing. I want to learn more about the world, people in it, communities, cultures. I am desperate. It's my driving force every day, is to learn stuff.
Yeah.
And I read every night. I probably read a book every 2 weeks. I have no social life. By choice, I'm absolutely fine with it. I have friends around at the weekend in the day. The kids can play. I will cook. We will all have a lovely time together. In the evening, I don't want to see anyone. I get into bed. I read every night. And that's how I am hopefully becoming a better writer, a better interviewer. Books are everything.
Oh,
books
I love
help
a book.
Us in every way, in how we communicate with people, in how we see the world. They're so important.
And your imagination.
Yeah, so, you know, I can fit in reading a book every 2 weeks because I go to bed at 9 and I read till 10 and I don't want to see any other people. So that's, I don't watch box sets. I'm watching The Crown right now because I have to, because it's the best show in the world.
I got to admit,
but
I do.
Anything
like
else, I'm not fussed about. I'll dip in and out of things ad hoc. And I'm also really lucky that because my parents were so hardworking that I do have a good work ethic. Mm. And, you know, none of this stuff that I'm doing is necessarily easy time-wise or management-wise, but I love it. So it's not hard.
Yeah, when you love what you do.
I just, you know, I'm at home a lot with my kids, which is great because I can work from home a ton and I can do the school where I'm very fortunate in that way. But I rarely have time where I'm just sort of chilling out, probably to my detriment, actually, and or lying in bed. I don't have any of that. And I am probably a bit of a workaholic, but I love it. And I just can't stop thinking about all these things that I could do or might do or might not do or will give a go at. So that helps, definitely.
But that's great to hear, because I think people think success is built overnight. It is not. And equally, how you define success, is it happiness? You've just said you love what you do. The passion is so there.
That's something that's got to give sometimes. And mine is, I don't really go out at night. I don't have a exciting, whizzy social scene where I'm out on the town with lots of famous people drinking cocktails and wearing a great dress. No, I'm walking out my house with some split trousers, running late to work, you know, because I love it. Yeah. And that's my choice. And this is all for the greater good for me. And I'm not very good at socialising. I don't necessarily enjoy it. I class this as socialising. I'm chatting to someone. Yeah. I'll go away, have had a nice chat. And that for me is socialising. So I don't feel the need to be in a big room with lots of people making small talk. That for me is a chore.
What you've said resonates a lot with me, especially in the winter months. I definitely do not want to be going out. I want to be in hibernation. So we have a few questions from our followers today, our audience listening. So we have, let's start with the one from Lorna. I like that name, Lorna. Do you have any suggestions on where to start when building your own brand?
You know what? Mine was so accidental at first and then became much more well thought out. But the book, I think if you know you're doing something that resonates with you and others, that's a great starting point. It could be anything. It could be that, you know, you could have a small business that is based around knitting, food, gardening, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you've really clicked into what you love, and it feels amazing. And there's the difference between something being a real chore and something being hard work.
Yeah.
And if you've made that distinction and you know the thing that you do requires perhaps a lot of time and energy and effort, but it just makes you tick, that's your starting point. And then I think you just work out what goes. Then there's all the silly little intricate bits, like, you know, for us, once we'd established that I wanted to do more with that subject matter, okay, well, what is our colour palette? What is that going to be? Okay, what is our little logo going to look like?
It's like all the little businessy decisions.
Cute, fun things that I didn't find a chore at all, and that were just what will be recognisable to people, hopefully, instantly. And we're still working that out now. It's not overnight. And getting that to be a recognisable thing. And they're the more kind of thought out bits. But I think you just, like, organically letting it grow and, like, oh, the festival feels right, we'll do that again. And God knows what else will happen next year. We're just waiting to see. But I think don't be in a rush. Like, as I said, you know, Happy Place is super young and I'm not in a rush for it to be this massive thing all of a sudden overnight. I want it to be sustainable over years and to sustain engagement, not necessarily popularity or anything like that, but just engagement, that people are invested in what we're talking about and we're listening back. So that's going to be a long process.
Yeah, I think of the long game. Don't just think short term things there. There's some really, really good advice. I don't know if I say this as Ava. I think it's Ava pronounced. Sorry if it's not and I've got that wrong. She has said, my relationships are suffering at the moment. She hasn't gone into any more detail than that. What might be some of the best ways to initially start to rebuild them?
So I think about this one a lot, because if you're talking, I mean, it could be friendships or partners in life. I don't think it has to be one or the other. There's a couple of ways you can think about it without me knowing too much about your life, Ava. But I think if you are getting either feedback or a lack of in a negative way from multiple people, you've got options. Either you've got to take a look at the people that you've decided to have in your life and go, why have I attracted these people in?
Yeah.
What is the dynamic? What role am I playing? What role have I chosen to play? Because sometimes we feel like we haven't chosen the role. We've just gone, well, I'm the person that always does everything in this friendship. You have chosen to take on that role. You can either choose to have a look at that, or if it feels right to you, you can choose at what you're up to, how you're reacting, what role you're playing and how it's affecting other people. So there are two ways of looking at it. Either the crowd you're hanging around with, you know, maybe you need to move on and you need to sever a couple of ties. Nothing wrong with that. If people in your life are making you feel a bit toxic or you see them as toxic, or do you need to change the way that you're seeing other people, the way that you're seeing how they engage with you and the way that you see dynamics? Like, do you need to have a look at that? Are you deeply unhappy in some way, and is that affecting your relationship? So without knowing much, I think they're the only two things I can say to really look at. And I've done that millions of times in my life. Oh my God, this person's acting strangely towards me. Is that me? Yep. Or is this naturally ending? Or is this something to do with them and I've attracted them in, but now it's time for that to end? I've done that so many times. It's a healthy thing to do. It's a little bit of life inventory.
I like that. I do go through the odd life inventory as well. I think we all do on a regular basis. The last one is from Rihanna, and she has said that she wants to start eating more plant-based, but she doesn't really know how to start and what to cook. So perhaps you could give some easy, quick recipes in your book or things you would start with that taste great.
Definitely. I mean, it took me a long time to, and I don't like to label myself anything to do with food because I don't feel that's
I agree. Labels
a healthy
are not
thing
helpful.
For me. So at the moment, Rihanna, I am eating a plant-based diet and I have done for the last few months. That's not to say, you know, forever I'm going to be a vegan. I might be, and hopefully I will be because I'm very much enjoying it. But I think you just go with where you're at in life. So at the moment I am. My husband also just went, you know what, I'm going to jump on this with you. And he ate, you know, I've been vegetarian since I was a kid, but he ate chicken and the odd bit of meat. He's now eating plant-based for about a month and he's absolutely loving it. And he's a really all or nothing guy, so he's like making himself packed lunches to go to his band rehearsals, and it's all very cute. But I would say there are some, it doesn't have to be complicated, it doesn't have to be scary. You don't even have to touch tofu if you don't want to.
No, you just,
I think a plant-based diet is about loads of veg and fruit and pulses, and you don't even have to eat nuts if you hate nuts or you're allergic to nuts. It can just be lots of nice lentils and brown rice, and you can make some very simple dals or whatever.
Oh, I love a dal.
Or just whack loads of root vegetables in a roasting tin with a bit of oil and some salt and garlic. Whack it in the oven for 40 minutes. That is probably one of my favourite meals in
the
world.
I did that last night with pumpkin.
Ever.
Yum.
It doesn't have to be anything that's weird or complicated. I think it's just people are worried about getting enough protein and fibre, and actually you probably get more in a plant-based diet.
They're the two
diet.
Elements I'm never worried about for plant-based eaters. It's the teeny micronutrients and variety. Protein you guys will most likely get alongside carbs. So yeah, don't panic.
Yeah.
So that wonderfully answers questions. Gurry firm there.
Oh my God, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I mean, these are my small opinions on these matters. Please don't take them verbatim or apply them to your life if you don't feel they're appropriate.
A step in the right direction. So we're moving on to the best part, which is the fact or fiction round. Are you ready?
No.
No. Okay.
Yes,
that's a good
go.
Answer. Okay. If you could answer fact or fiction to the following. Being creative helps ease stress.
Oh, fact.
Movement helps with emotional and physical health.
Absolutely fact. And I will add a lie to that. It doesn't have to be like
the gym.
Going to a CrossFit. It can be going for a walk. Anything.
Definitely. Agree. You should trust your gut.
Yeah.
Breathing exercise can help with anxiety.
Oh my God, fact. Breathing has been a game changer for me this year. Fact.
Did you hypnobirth?
Yes.
I need to start doing that.
It was really the hypnosis bit of it I didn't really understand, but the breathing, it was just the breathing. And yeah. I was very fortunate, not with my first birth necessarily, with my second birth, with my daughter, I had a very peaceful experience in the water.
Great.
And the breath just was remarkable.
Okay, really good. Really good to know. Ooh. Healthy isn't hard work.
Fiction. I think it is. I think you have to be organised. You have to apply a little bit more effort. It's easier to go and buy a ready meal than preparing something. It's easier to go for your craving of chocolate over something which is a different option.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does require hard work, and that's all right.
Yeah, agreed. The media plays a big part in how people are perceived today.
Fact. Oh, of course.
Yeah, self-awareness can support personal development.
Fact.
Caring less is important.
Oh, such a fact. Yeah.
We definitely touched on that. Celebrating daily successes are important.
Yeah, I think fact, but I think we have to do it with awareness of what you're celebrating and why, and for your ego to not get too attached to it, for it to then mean that you think you are different to others, can talk differently to others, etc. If it's for the greater good of just knowing your own personal milestones, knock yourself out.
Yeah, yeah. Good, well answered. We should all try and reduce our meat consumption.
Yeah, I'm going to say factor. People give me shit for that because I get shit for everything I say about anything. But
I can back you
up. Yeah, I haven't eaten meat since I was about 10 and I definitely feel the benefits.
Yeah. Yeah, no, actually, guys, we are being advised that as a planet on a whole, we do
all
need to do
our bit. Well, for sustainability reasons,
yeah,
absolutely. For your physical reasons, you know, there'll be many arguments, but yes, I can see that it would be good all round for everybody to reduce their meat intake.
Fern, excellent fact or fiction round. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That does nearly wrap up the episode today, but as with every guest, we finish with a food for thought today. So mine would be to start the fact that the actions that we make every day, they're not just a in the moment kind of thing. They have knock-on consequences that can be good. They can be bad, as we've discussed, but they all happen for a reason and our emotions take a different pathway. I think going back to when we discussed Fern's relationship with food, which I know a lot of you listen for on this podcast, help with your nutrition and your food. It's an ongoing journey for so many people, and it's very, very important to identify the reasons behind the choices we make, the why, but equally know that you don't need to place such huge pressure on yourself, and there's always someone out there, because life comes with twists and turns. So remember what's important to you rather than being led by others, which is something that I know we always say a lot. Comparison is the thief of joy is the phrase. I think it goes, it rings true for all of us, everybody. Behind a perfect image, there is never a full story on social media, and we all live busy lives. You know, we're all totally running from A to B today, and your relationships with others will keep changing. But importantly, you need to try and learn, and this is when I wrote this food for thought down, it made me think of you need to try and learn to find and identify what can be your happy place. Excuse the pun there. But Fern, if you could leave our listeners with one take home message today, what would that be?
I think it's for all of us to find your own self-acceptance. I don't think any of us necessarily find it easy to love ourselves, sometimes even like ourselves. And I think acceptance is a very good starting point, or it could be where you end up. But I think if you can accept the decisions you've made previously and forgive yourself, you can accept the decisions that you will make in the future and deal with whatever happens due to them and still be okay, and definitely not compare yourself. And just be accepting of who you are, what your capabilities are, not someone else's, what your strengths are, not somebody else's, what your weaknesses are, and accept them, and the bits where you've fucked up, and accept them. Then you will forgive others more easily, you'll be just less judgmental of other people, and you will just find more mental peace, which I think most of us need.
Oh, gosh, wonderful take home message there. Fern, I don't even know what to say. There are not enough words. Just, you've given up so much of your valuable time for us all. Thank you for coming
on the
podcast.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, you'll absolutely love what's coming next week. So make sure you click subscribe to be the first to hear it. And please do leave a 5-star review. It really does help to get our podcast out there, to reach those higher highs in the charts and to help more people. For more information about my Retrition Clinic, books, healthy recipes, events, retreats, and so much more, please visit Retrition.com and follow me at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.